A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Proverbs 13:22. Hi, I'm Rob West. We're all familiar with that verse, but do we fully understand its meaning? Is it only about money? I'll talk about that today and much more with Harlan Akala. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always educational to have Harlan Akala on the program. Harlan's with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. He's also an expert on the use of reverse mortgages, a topic we'll get into in just a moment. Harlan, great to have you back on the program.
Great to be here, Rob. Thank you.
Harlan, I want to start with this passage that I opened with today, Proverbs 13:22. Do you think that applies just to money, or perhaps there's a broader explanation for that passage?
Well, I think it's a lot broader when it comes to our homes, because I've worked in the mortgage industry for over 20 years since the 90s, and I've worked in the reverse mortgage industry really for the last 15 years intensively. And the fact is, when people get into their 80s and 90s, other than things that they're passing on, like a quilt or a jewelry or some intrinsic value, the biggest thing that they pass on of the most earthly value is their house. And there's very little preparation or planning that goes into that, and that's usually the last thing that's left. And from a stewardship standpoint, sometimes there isn't very much thought put into it, and it is a very significant asset to leave behind. And we advocate that there needs to be a lot of planning, because there's been years and years of building up value in that house. Of course, the most valuable thing we can leave behind is our faith and our influence on our children and our grandchildren. That is primary. But when it comes to what we leave behind, there is so little planning and so much value in houses. And I've mentioned this before, but for some first-time listeners, there's now over $13 trillion with a T sitting in home equity of people just over the age of 62. It is the largest asset class of wealth that has ever been amassed in one place in the United States. And certainly we need to have stewardship and planning come into that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, you touched on a lot of key points there. We'll continue to unpack those. By the way, Harlan will be with us for this first portion of the broadcast. We'll be taking your questions specifically on reverse mortgages. If you've considered this, perhaps you've heard some things about reverse mortgages in the past that caused you to think, this is not a planning tool I should even consider. Or maybe you're considering a reverse mortgage and you have questions. He's here to answer those with a biblical approach, but obviously out of a place of real knowledge and expertise. You can call right now with your questions on reverse mortgages at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You know, I appreciate that you called out the fact that, you know, I think a proper reading of this verse that we opened with today is commending righteous people to train their children in the way of righteousness and the worship of God as a lasting generational inheritance. And so, you know, we would understand as we read this that a good, righteous person ought to instill character and righteousness in their children, which will be passed on for generations. So that spiritual capital is paramount, then character capital, and then, of course, financial capital. And that can come in many forms. It could come through wealth accumulation in investments. It could come in the form of cash. It can also come in the form of real estate, home equity. And to your point, there's a massive amount of equity in homes. And often as one planning tool, we don't see or think about how we can use that home equity in this season of life where in some cases we're ill-prepared and therefore we're not even able to meet expenses. Or maybe it's beyond that where we just want to be able to do more, give more, and that's where home equity can come in if we think about it properly. Is that right?
Well, that's so true. There's two examples just in the last month since I've talked to you last. One was a relatively wealthy Christian business owner that just a couple weeks ago took out a few hundred thousand dollars to not just to get a tax deduction, that was a side benefit, but to donate to a Christian organization that desperately needed funds. And he didn't need the money in his house, nor did his children. Yeah. And it was something that even though he's in his 60s, he decided to give all of that away.
Yeah. And let's save the second example for right after the break, Harlan. That was a great one. We're going to continue to unpack this topic of reverse mortgages. Your questions, 800-525-7000. Much more to come. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Overwhelmed and alone. So often life's challenges have that effect on us. So where do you turn when those moments come? I hope your first impulse is to cry out to the Lord. In Psalm 18, verse 6, David writes, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." Now that's the voice of confidence and experience. God is always listening, even when we feel alone. And as we grow in Christ, we'll also grow in confidence and experience, knowing that the heart of the Lord is for us. He does hear us when we call out to him. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
There is this hungering and thirsting after God. We were created with a God-shaped vacuum, and even when we don't know how to express it, there is something that reaches out toward God within us, even though that itself is a gift from God.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for a special message on a personal encounter with Jesus. Next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, helping you think about your role as a steward of God's money in the light of biblical wisdom and applying those truths we find in the 2,300 verses on money and possessions in God's Word. Today, talking with Harlan Akala. Harlan is with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. Harlan is also an expert in the topic of reverse mortgages. He's the author of the book, Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages. And he joins us periodically just to shed some light on what I believe is an appropriate financial planning tool. Now, let me just back up and say, we talk a lot about getting out of debt and the warnings in Scripture around debt, and that for most of us, we want to try to become completely debt-free, and that's certainly a goal for many as they enter that retirement season to keep lifestyle as low as possible. But when we think about financial planning, we look at all of our assets, and we think about how to maximize those assets for our enjoyment. That's biblical. For our giving opportunities, for an inheritance, a financial inheritance down the road, so we can be wise stewards. And often that home equity goes overlooked. Now, again, if you're in a position to get completely out of debt, great. We love that. I've never had a call from somebody who paid off their mortgage and regretted it. But I will say there are some in this season of life that want to be able to do more, or they perhaps don't have the cash flow they need even to meet basic expenses, and tapping into that home equity in a home equity conversion mortgage can be at least a tool for consideration. Because keep in mind, with a reverse mortgage, it's not something that you have to commit to personally. So, you know, your home is the only collateral. If they ever paid you out more than your home is worth, let's say your home lost value for some reason, the government makes up that difference. So it is not the same product that was offered years ago that I think in so many cases was a bad product. And Harlan can shed some light on that today. We're taking your calls and questions at 800-525-7000, specifically on reverse mortgages today as well. Harlan, talk about that for a moment in terms of how we should think about using home equity, and specifically in light of where we started today with regard to the next generation and our stewardship.
Well, I guess, Rob, the best way to explain it is everybody has different buckets of wealth. And you, of course, have talents and abilities that you can share with others. But when it comes to money, there's 401ks and there's IRAs and there's life insurance and annuities and all sorts of different products that are used to store money for the future when we're not working or we don't want to work anymore. One of the places that we store money is in our house. And, yeah, and nobody thinks it's unusual if you have a $200,000 IRA and you take out $10,000 to live on, then you have $190,000 left. If you have a $200,000 house, people look at it very differently when you take $10,000 out of your house to fix your roof or to help out your children or even do gifting. But yet it's the same thing. You know, whether we put money in this bucket or that bucket, it's wealth either way, and we're commanded to use any of our wealth from a stewardship standpoint of what is best for our families and, of course, what is best for our commitment to God and what we believe is how we should spend our money and our resources. And what I've always contended is people emotionally separate the value of the house from other monies. And in reality, it's all things that we've been gifted from God.
Yeah, very good. Talk for a second about why today's product, what's called the HECM, is different than perhaps what's gotten a bad rap in the past.
Well, of course, you and I, Rob, always go back to the borrower being the servant to the lender. And that's one of the dangerous things about debt, is you can be in servitude to a credit card. You can be in servitude to too expensive of a car. And that debt doesn't go away. It's just that you're responsible for it no matter what happens. Well, when it comes to a reverse mortgage, it's very different. When I did my reverse mortgage, I signed a form that said release of personal liability. I just pledged the equity in my house, and whatever's left goes to my children, and whatever's needed to pay the debt goes to for the debt. But it's not anything that I have to make a monthly payment on, so I'm no longer in servitude to a monthly payment like I was when I had a regular mortgage. That's called non-recourse in technical terms, legal terms, and it is the safest possible debt that anyone can have because there's no requirement to ever pay it back or pay a deficit if, as you mentioned, the value of the house goes down. That's a powerful change from people that were kicked out of their houses when values went down on products that were really preyed on seniors. And a lot of people hate reverse mortgages like I did 20 years ago because I thought that's what they were. But when I understood the safety that was put in place in 1988, when during Reagan's term, when this was put into place, it completely changed the game and provided the protections that is absolutely critical for people in my season of life past 62.
Yeah, very good. We're taking your questions today for Harlan Akala, 800-525-7000, for this portion of the broadcast specifically on reverse mortgages. Let's go back to, let's go to the phones to South Dakota. Hi, Andrew. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Harlan. God bless you to you and your guest. And to preface my question, my father used to tell me to, if you want to know the news, to read the business section. I've done that all my adult life, and in light of your reverse mortgage program, my question is simply, is a home an asset or a liability? Thank you very much.
Yeah. Harlan, you want to tackle that one first?
Well, I love that question because that's something that I faced years ago when somebody asked me that same question maybe 15, 20 years ago. The correct answer is both. The house is an asset, but it's a liability because you have to pay taxes, you have to pay upkeep, you have to pay all of the things that are necessary, utilities, et cetera, to keep the home functioning. So when it gets to retirement, it becomes a liability. A reverse mortgage is just that. It turns it into an asset where you can take some of the money out. Think about an IRA. If you had to continue to contribute to it after retirement, it wouldn't have much value. And that's an astute question because a house is very different in that it is a wonderful asset. It's a very difficult liability for people in retirement, especially if they have a conventional mortgage, because now they got to make payments plus taxes, plus utilities and all the maintenance. And it becomes a burden that is sometimes too difficult to bear. I was talking to a lady yesterday. Her income is $1,700 and her mortgage payment is $800. That's a huge burden that is a liability. We can turn that into an asset to completely change the way her retirement looks. So great question. I love the way that that's phrased because it really clarifies a lot of things of how a reverse mortgage works.
Yeah, at face value, an asset is something that holds value. Clearly, your home does, but it comes with it plenty of liabilities. And to your point, with two-thirds, Harlan, of retirees entering retirement this season of life where their income often declines or goes away in part, is a situation where they have then still a major expense, that is the mortgage payment. It used to be 50% of retirees entering retirement had their homes paid off. Now it's only a third. So, being able to eliminate that mortgage payment is obviously key. And I think the other piece of this is there are different ways that you can take out a reverse mortgage. Quickly hit on those. We've got about a minute till our break.
Yes, there's three ways to take it out. Everybody thinks you just take out a big old lump sum, or the others feel that you just get a monthly check. But the most common way to take money out is in a line of credit where you only pull money out when you need it, just like you do with an IRA or a savings account. If you have a $200,000 savings account, you don't take it all out. If you have a $200,000 reverse mortgage, you don't take it all out. You just use it as you need it sparingly and carefully, just like you would with a savings account. And so that's the way most people take it out, is on a line of credit. So you use the money only as you need it and in a sparing and careful way.
Harlan Akala with us today from Movement Mortgage. He's a reverse mortgage expert. We're taking your questions on reverse mortgages, 800-525-7000. Back with much more after this.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll talk with a teacher in California who was fired for refusing to compromise her Christian faith.
They said I would have to allow transgender students in my locker room. So again, I clarify, does this mean potentially a boy in my female locker room? And they said, yes, it's the law here in California.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. And today, for this portion of the broadcast, specifically questions on reverse mortgages, we're joined today by Harlan Akala from Movement Mortgage. Harlan is a reverse mortgage expert. If you'd like to learn more, you can visit with Harlan and his team when you go to movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. Let's head back to the phones. Lyle is in Indiana. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm in the throes of this right now with a relative, and we're looking at the difference between a true reverse mortgage and actually selling the home to a relative and giving the person a life residency. It seems like you generate an incredible larger amount of money for the person if you did it that way rather than a traditional reverse mortgage.
Harlan?
Yes, I've talked to a lot of families about just that. One of the factors that needs to be considered is capital gains tax, because a lot of times you get a lot more money, but if you sell a home while you're alive, you lose the step-up in basis. And so whatever gain was in the house, if it was substantial, is taxed at current capital gain rates. Nothing wrong with doing that if a greater amount of money is used. But because you get less money with a reverse mortgage, you still get an increase in the line of credit that goes up every single. For example, if you have a $200,000 line of credit, next year it's a $215,000 line of credit, and the year after that, $230,000, and so on. You keep getting more money the older you get. So sometimes that's more than sufficient. It all depends on what the needs are for that particular family. The other thing to keep in mind is if there's a big lump sum, that's not only an issue from a taxation situation, but it also exposes more money in a long-term care situation. So it's really a combination of several things together. There's not one thing that's right or wrong. Sometimes one will make sense, sometimes the other. But there's usually more advantages, and in my experience, people have more often went with the idea of making sure that the reverse was done, because a lot of times the relative, not knowing when the other person was going to pass away, didn't want to wait that long to have the house either, and so they had their money tied up for a long time, really making nothing. So a lot of factors to consider, but not good or bad, just depends on what you want to accomplish.
Lyle, does that give you a few other things to think about?
Well, but the thing I really want to look into is he's talking about lump sum, which I understand that, capital gains, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm talking about buying it on a contract basis, on a month-to-month basis, as opposed to, here's $200,000. I'll take out a mortgage on it. Just buy it on contract for somebody that owns their home free and clear, but you're buying it from them on a month-to-month basis and giving them a life residency in it.
Harlan?
Yes, I'm very familiar with that. The issue is this, it still is a sale, and so that's where the tax issues come in. But we also give money monthly in that same scenario, and it all comes down to they need $800 a month, do they need $1,500 a month? What is the specific goal, and what is the interest rate that they're going to be paid? And then obviously the tax consideration is always big because whatever goes to the government, you can never get back. Whereas there's it's a lot easier when there's a step up in basis. But just again, depends on the goal of what they need for income. We can either do income, line of credit, or a lump sum, depending upon what's needed. With these folks needing a monthly check, makes sense to obviously be in a position where either one might work, just depending again on what they need for income. And some of that income would be taxable with a sale. None of the income is taxable that comes from a reverse mortgage.
Very good. Lyle, thanks for your call today. Stan is in Tennessee. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I had a question. Is I know the mortgages are backed by the federal government, but we're $34 trillion in debt. And so I was wondering, how does the government end this? Are they trying to eventually make money on some of the houses that go, but that they have to pick up? Or that's I was just wondering why they're involved in it.
Yeah, very good. Well, I think what's important to understand is you're exactly right. We have massive national debt, which is another issue we need to solve. But they're getting paid, Harlan, for that protection, right?
Yes, there's mortgage insurance involved. And Stan, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm not one for getting involved with things that the government runs, because the old story of Reagan that made the joke, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you, is sometimes the case. But this is one of the only government programs, if not the only one, as far as I know, that has never lost money since 1988. It's a private actuarial that determines the insurance. So it's not the federal government that is paying out the difference. It's the insurance program that's administered by the Federal Housing Administration. So insurance takes care of this, and it's a self-sustaining program. It's not on the back of the taxpayers like some programs would be. And so regardless of how much the government is in debt, this is a segmented fund that is set aside specifically for this, and it's never went upside down since 1988. So the safety of the program is there because everybody that's using the program pays into it, just like a homeowner's insurance program or a flood insurance program. It is part of any other well-run insurance program. And fortunately, the private actuarials run this program, and that's why it's been very successful. That's a great question, Stan. Thanks for bringing that up.
And Harlan, to be clear, the borrower pays a one-time premium for that FHA insurance, which is what, 2% of the loan?
Yes, you give up 2% of actually your home value. So I gave up 2% of my home value to be guaranteed three things. I never have to make a payment. I never get kicked out. And my kids are never going to have a bill. And whatever money's left over always goes to my children. I still own the house. I don't mind giving up 2% of the equity, even though that's expensive. I don't mind giving that up because of the guarantees that I get in return, just like, again, any other insurance. So that's an important part of it, and that's why the program works, because the borrowers fund it themselves with the risk.
Yeah, very good. Jim is in Ohio. Jim, will be coming to you after the break. Jim wants to talk about whether having a house in a trust affects a reverse mortgage and the potential to have that on the home. We're taking your calls and questions today on reverse mortgages while Harlan Akala is with us. Harlan is with Movement Mortgage. He's a reverse mortgage expert. He's a Christ follower and a regular contributor here in Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Room for your calls around the corner, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Our topic today, reverse mortgages. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend Harlan Akala. He's a reverse mortgage expert with Movement Mortgage and underwriter of this program. If you want to learn more, you can go to movement.com/faith. Let's head back to the phones. Jim is in Ohio. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. Hi. Appreciate your help.
Absolutely.
Yes. My first question is, our home is part of our trust, family trust, and was wondering, does that affect us having the availability of using a reverse mortgage?
Yeah. Harlan?
Yeah, Jim, that's a great question. We don't care how you own the property. A trust is obviously used. I always compare it to you put the home in a box or you put whatever possessions you have in a box. And on the top of the box is the instructions of how to take care of it at a certain future time. So that does not affect your ability to do a reverse mortgage. It affects you. It stops you from doing many mortgages, but not a reverse mortgage, because a lot of our clients have either a revocable or an irrevocable trust as part of their overall estate planning. It's simply tied to you and your wife's death if you are married. And when both of you are gone, then the loan is due. And so it is the requirement of the heirs, in this case, the trust and the trustee, to take care of paying it off. But it does not affect your ability to do it. Many of our clients have that because that's part of their overall estate plan. Some people even use a life estate that was alluded to, in another caller. But that's quite frankly not as efficient from a tax planning standpoint as what you have with your trust.
Very good. Jim, you had a second part to that question. Go ahead.
Yeah. Follow up. Yeah, thank you, Rob. Is using a reverse mortgage and having life insurance, does that, using the reverse mortgage, could that actually eliminate some need for life insurance?
Where you would have life insurance to pay off a mortgage, a conventional mortgage balance? Is that what you're describing?
That's correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Very good. Marlon, thoughts?
It does. When you want to protect your spouse and worry about whether or not it's fine that you can make payments when you're both alive, but when you're gone and the Social Security income goes down, or if you're still working, when I pass away, my wife continues to have a payment that's zero on this home. So it would eliminate that need. But some people want to use life insurance as something to pass on to the next generation. So it just depends on what you want to accomplish, but it certainly eliminates the need for life insurance if you're trying to protect a spouse. If you want to pass something on to the next generation, then you'd still use a life insurance policy for that. And that's sometimes more efficient than trying to pass on a house. So it's interrelated, and that's a great question. That makes a lot of sense, Jim.
Jim, thanks for your call today, sir. God bless you. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Robin. How can we help?
Bless you guys. Thank you for your ministry. My question is a little complicated, but I'm trying to understand. So I own a house that is my mom lives in, and I don't want to sell it. But I am building a house currently, and I could see where at times I would need, you know, additional funds. I guess my question is, could I, this idea of having a line of credit, do you have to use it if you take it out? And I guess the percentage, the amount you have to, for the insurance at 2% or whatever, is based on whatever you ask for as a line of credit, I guess. I'm trying to understand it, I guess.
Sure. Harlan?
Yeah. I think that's very important what you're bringing up, Robin, because whenever you do a reverse mortgage, it should be in combination with the next generation, because obviously any decision that you make from an estate planning situation or from what you do with your house is going to affect the next generation. So obviously, I assume that you're going to receive the home from your mom when she passes. And so a reverse mortgage is simply a way of getting money out early. A lot of parents give money to their children now to help them buy a house or build a house like what you're trying to do. And just it's an early inheritance that decreases the inheritance in the future, of course. But it makes more sense because you need it now, not when your mom is 90 or 100 years old, but it's something that's needed now. So it's kind of part of an overall plan. But would it make sense to do that and not be responsible for the payment? Sometimes that's very wise stewardship and very wise financial planning. So it's a little more complicated than that. But a quick answer, the short answer would be probably.
Yeah. Robin, though, asked about the line of credit. Will you speak to the fact that you don't have to use the money, even though the line's available to you, number one? And then secondly, how is the 2% premium determined if it's on the line of credit, you know, without you even using it? Is it just on the full amount of the line? Will you answer those?
Yes. Thanks for clarifying that, Rob. The issue is that the at any point you can draw the full amount of the line of credit as the line of credit continues to grow. So the full amount of the mortgage insurance is immediately assessed right in the beginning, whether you take out $50 or $500,000, because and it's not money that you pay out. It's simply deducted from the future equity. You're paying for it with equity because the house is paid off, obviously. The only thing you're charged for then besides that is the interest on the amount that you use in the line of credit. So if you have a $500,000 line of credit and you're only using $50,000, the interest only accrues on $50,000, not on the huge amount that you're never planning on using. So the mortgage insurance assessed on the full amount of the home value, the interest only assessed on the amount that you use.
Yeah, very good. Does that clear it up, Robin?
Yes, sir. That's awesome. It's actually almost sounds too good to be true.
Very good.
I
well,
hear
today
that a lot. It's not too good to be true. It's too good to be free. You are giving up 2% of your equity to do it. So that's a good way to explain it.
And it will be accruing interest, you know, in fees on any portion that you do take out, although you can pay it back if you want. You certainly don't have to. A payment is never required. Taking your questions today for Harlan Akala on reverse mortgages, Paul's in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to share a horror story that turned out well, but I sold a house in Leesburg, Virginia, after I moved to Pennsylvania, but after several years. And I paid $44,000 for the house, but I sold it for $309,000, which gave me a tremendous capital gain. So I filed a return a little late, and I sent in $20,000 to cover the capital gain so that I wouldn't get hit with the interest on top of everything else. And I got a letter back from IRS and said I filed too late and I wasn't going to get any return. And in the meantime, I had gotten a letter from IRS saying they suspected a fraudulent return, and I had to go to the local office with all kinds of identifications to prove I was who I was, which I did, and the return was in there, filed within the three-year period.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm glad to hear that worked out for you. Harlan, any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, the fact is, in the capital gains, whenever that happens, that it's really a good idea to have a CPA involved, because sometimes there's no tax required because you get an exclusion up to the first $500,000 as a couple. So sometimes you don't even have to pay anything. But that's one point where it's kind of good. Yes, it costs a little bit extra to deal with a tax preparer, but always helpful. And then they can help fight your battles for you.
Very good. Paul, thanks for your call. More of your questions on reverse mortgages in our final segment just around the corner. Stick around.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
I'm so glad you've joined us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in our final segment, our remaining moments with Harlan Akala. He's been our guest today. He's a reverse mortgage expert with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. If you'd like to connect with Harlan and his team to learn more, you can go to movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. We have room for perhaps one or two more questions in addition to those that are holding at 800-525-7000. Your questions specifically on reverse mortgages today for Harlan. Let's go out to Kansas. Hi, Judy Joe. Go ahead. Judy, are you with us? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. I hope.
Oh, great. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling because, well, I've heard of reverse mortgages, but when we needed money, we went to the bank, and all they offered me was an equity line, and so we had the house completely paid off, and of course we had a water leak all of a sudden in the foundation. I'm like, oh my gosh! So we just took out this loan of 55, and the payment on that is more than my house payment was years ago when we had it paid off. And so can I take that home equity loan and, I don't know, turn it over to the, I don't have to make the payment, reverse mortgage, or am I just stuck?
That's a great question, Judy Joe. Harlan?
Yeah, Judy, our company does both regular equity lines and reverse equity lines. We call them HELOCs and RELOCs, home equity line of credit and reverse line of credit. we will not do a regular line of credit unless there's a really good reason for somebody that's over 62, because we believe the payments should be optional. The interest rates are very similar. In fact, the ReLock is a little bit cheaper right now than the HELOC, but they're close, market rates. And to be able to have a line of credit that's available to you that does not require a payment, especially when they doubled in the last 2 or 3 years because of the interest rates on regular HELOCs, it's simply from a wisdom standpoint and a stewardship standpoint, don't put yourself into a position to be making payments for the next 5, 10, 15 years without knowing whether or not it's going to be easy for you to do that. The other thing is what most people don't realize is HELOCs are not guaranteed. They are not something that you can just be assured that they're always going to be there. Because they can be called if the value of your house goes down, if somebody dies, somebody gets sick, and then the umbrella is taken away right when it starts to rain. They're a dangerous thing to count on because they are not guaranteed. A reverse mortgage, as long as you're living in the home and you are paying the real estate taxes, it's guaranteed up to age 150 with a zero payment. So can you refinance a regular line of credit into a reverse line of credit? The answer is yes, and probably something that you should do to be in the safe zone as quickly as you can, because it's just a better, safer way to have a mortgage on your home.
Does that make sense, Judy Jo?
It makes wonderful sense, but why did the bank offer me this high interest instead of the reverse mortgage?
Because most banks do not have a reverse mortgage available, and so they just offered you what they had available. And so they weren't necessarily
this. I would go to your site and
connect with somebody to explain more about this, Judy Jo, when you head to movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith, and somebody will get in touch with you and can explain all the details on how these work. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Me and my brother inherited a home, and he passed away. Can I still do a reverse mortgage?
Yeah, Harlan?
Yes, anyone that is over the age of 62, whether they are married, whether they're brothers and sisters, or even a parent and child, as long as everybody is over 62, are able to do a reverse mortgage. Now, so both you and your brother could have done it, but obviously you didn't while he was alive. But as long as you were the survivor that receives 100% of the value of the house and it didn't go to his estate or to any of his children or relatives, then you can do the reverse mortgage to maintain the house on your own. So we just got to make sure that you're the owner and that it came to you as the sole owner of the house. If not, his estate or his relatives or something would have to sign that over to you. But the quick answer is yes, but we got to make sure that you own the house.
Yeah, Robert, did it come to you in his passing? Are you now the sole owner of this property?
Well, what happened was we didn't have a will or anything. So my mom passed and it was just me and my brother. So he passed away, but I'm living. So the house is still in my name and his name.
Okay. Yeah. So you just have to sort that out with the probate court. It's probably going to come down to how the home was titled, whether it was joint tenants in common or with right of survivorship. If it's in common, then, his portion of that home would be a part of his estate and would then be available to his heirs. I realize there's not a will there, and so that's where the probate court would get involved. But as long as you are the sole owner, and that's going to need to be sorted out, then if you're over 62 and you have more than 50% equity, that's where the reverse mortgage is possible. But if after his passing, the probate courts decide that, you know, that portion that was his is now a part of his estate and would be then available to others that are considered heirs other than you, then, you know, that would create a challenge because that home would either need to be sold or that portion would need to be purchased by you and paid to those other heirs. So I think that's the next step to kind of sort that out before you determine what your options are moving forward. Thanks for your call today to Texas. Hi, Margaret. Go ahead.
Yes. If I own a condo, but I rent it out to someone, Is there something like this that you can do?
Yeah, rental properties, Harlan?
Yeah, it's a requirement that you have to own the home and that you have to be live in it most of the time. So a home that is a second home or a home that is an investment property does not qualify at this time. That may happen in the future, but at this time, none of those properties are eligible. But you can do a reverse mortgage on your primary property to help with expenses of a second home or an investment property. But you would have to be the owner of the home.
Very good.
And live in it.
Yeah. Margaret, unfortunately, not investment properties, only your primary residence. Thank you for calling today. Harlan, we'll try to get to one or two more calls here in just a moment. Anything we haven't covered today that you think is a misunderstood part of reverse mortgages or something you might want to just weigh in on here?
Yeah, I think the most important thing, Rob, is, and it really goes back to, I hope everybody has got your book on the Faith By website, Rich Toward God. And it talks about the man who was storing all of his goods in the barn. It's kind of similar to what we store in our homes, and we have to be careful to know what we're going to do with it. It's not just a matter of storing it there, but what are we going to do with it from a stewardship standpoint? And most people don't realize that if I use some of the money in my house, I didn't lose my house. I still own it. If I used $50,000 and my house is worth $300,000, I still have $250,000 that I can pass on. And so I think that's the biggest thing, that people think you lose something, and it's no different than using money out of your savings account or using money out of your IRA. It's the difference in using it and losing it is something that people just get confused on.
Yeah.
Using is okay. Losing is not okay. And people don't want to lose their house that they've worked years to achieve to own. And we want to make sure that that can stay in their name and in their families all the way to their death. And that's something that worry is something that can be taken away when with the proper understanding.
Let's try to get one more call in before we round out the broadcast today to Mississippi. Hi, Ann. How can we help you?
Yes, I got in on the tail end of your program. My home is worth probably $250,000 or maybe more, but I'm just, anyway. And I'm 71, and I don't want to go back to work, and my home is in a trust, a irrevocable. And I know you mentioned that, but I just wanted some assurance because I need some money. I like to shop.
And let me ask you, and I hear you. Excuse me. I know you said you're 71. What kind of equity do you have? Do you own it outright or do you have a mortgage?
It's paid for. Been paid
okay.
for.
Good Very
while.
Good. Yeah. Harlan?
Yeah. So you'd be able to get a monthly check. So you could be careful how much you'd shop, or you could get a line of credit, or you can get a lump sum, of course. But it would seem like a monthly check would probably make the most sense for you. And yes, the irrevocable trust works. We have to have the trustee sign off, of course, whoever the trustee is. And sometimes we have to look at the wording to make sure that the irrevocable trust allows mortgages. Sometimes it will not allow mortgages. And so sometimes they have to be amended or just a one-page amendment put in. But we've done many irrevocable trusts, so I wouldn't worry about that. Let us know the details. We can take a look at it and let you know from there.
Very good. Thank you for calling in. Let me just, Sam is holding. We don't have time to get to his question, but I'll just ask it. He says he's retired, 93, has a reverse mortgage, could pass at any time. How long would his grandson who lives with him, or would he have to leave the home at his passing? How does that work, Harlan?
We should talk to the grandson right now, because when something would happen to grandpa, he has a year, 6 months to take care of the main things, and then in 2-3 month extensions. We don't come to the funeral and ask for the check. So, but it makes sense to plan ahead. We can help the grandson in refinancing it into his name or paying it off depending upon what his goal is. So,
yeah,
but we certainly want to talk to the family as soon as possible to make sure that they can plan ahead.
Excellent. Great Sam, question. I apologize we didn't get you on, but it was a great question. I'm glad Harlan could weigh in on it. Folks, if you want to learn more, Harlan and his team would be happy to explain more about reverse mortgages to you. Just head to the website at movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. Harlan, this has been fabulous. You've covered a lot of ground today. We're grateful for your friendship and your biblical approach. God bless you, sir.
Thank you. thank you, Rob. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. That was Harlan Ackle of Movement Mortgage and underwriter of this program. A big thanks to my team today, Taylor Stanrich. We're grateful for Adam Suddeth, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without him. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.